On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
Good afternoon, Namibia. It's a Thursday, and you know what that means. We are sliding closer to the weekend. And not just that, any weekend and or starting off of any weekend, but it's a Friday. A good Friday is coming up. But before we get there, we dive into the stories. Now, welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin. This is the 17th of April 2025, and I'm your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and as always, I'm here to bring you the latest updates on what's happening both locally and around the globe. Now, if you've been searching for a show that breaks down current social, economic, and community issues, look no further. On the Radar is your daily guide to what matters most. From breaking news to trending topics, we're live every weekday, Monday to Friday, from 1300 hours to 1430. And remember, your voice matters. You can join the conversation at any time by calling us on 083-288-401. Now, whether it's a comment, a question, or a shout out, we are listening and are ready to engage. Now, we are all settled in. Let's jump right into these headlines. The Namibia Competition Commission, NACC, in collaboration with the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism, METEF, has granted a 90-day extension to Ultimate Safaris LTD and three communal conservancies, Doron Nasus, Webersen, Twyfelfontein, and Soris Soris, amid an ongoing investigation into alleged anti-competitive practices. The extension follows concerns raised over exclusive agreements between the conservancies and Ultimate Safaris with the commission, which the commission believes may stifle competition in the sector. The commission had initially advised the conservancies in January 2025 to terminate such agreements and confirm compliance within 30 days. A complaint lodged in September 2024 triggered the investigation, and the commission has since warned that failure to comply may result in further regulatory action under Section 33, Clause 1 of the Competition Act. On March 14, 2025, NACC and METEF, that is the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism, met to explore a collaborative approach. The Commission acknowledged the Ministry's role in conversing Namibia's natural resources and welcomed its involvement in seeking a balanced resolution. Now, as part of the agreed process, the ministry will submit a report outlining the historical and regulatory context of communal conservancies, after which both entities will hold technical consultations to determine a way forward that aligns with environmental sustainability and competition law. While open to dialogue, the commission reiterated its stance that the agreements under scrutiny restrict market competition and emphasized its right to pursue further action if no resolution is reached by the end of the extension period. Let's now listen from the Namibia Competition Commission.
The Commission and the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism, MEFT, agreed to grant Ultimate Safaris Limited, Doron Nabas Conservancy, Webersen Twyfelfontein Conservancy, and Soris Soris Conservancy a 90-day extension period following an investigation for alleged anti-competitive conduct against the parties. The Commission and MEFT will engage in further discussions on a possible way forward to find a mutually beneficial solution in this matter. Now, this decision comes after the Commission in January 2025 advised the conservancies concerned to consider terminating the exclusive agreements, which is an anti-competitive behavior between them, and to confirm in writing that they have ceased with the exclusive conduct within 30 days of that notice. The Commission further cautioned that should the parties persist in the said conduct, the Commission reserves its rights to exercise its powers as provided for in Section 33, Subsection 1 of the Competition Act No. 2 of 2003. The Commission initiated an investigation against the four conservancies following a complaint that was received in September 2024. Going forward, at its behest, the Commission on the 14th of March 2025 met with the Ministry to discuss the matter of the conservancies. Recognizing the important role that MEFT in ensuring environmental sustainability and wildlife protection, especially for endangered species, plays, the Commission welcomed the opportunity to engage and collectively find a way forward with regard to the issues that were raised with the conservancies. Following its initial discussions with MEFT, it was agreed that the Ministry would communicate to the concerned conservancies and Ultimate Safaris that a 90 days extension has been granted pending further consultations between the two institutions, that is the Commission and the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism. The MEFT is to submit in due course a report to the Commission detailing the history and regulations around communal conservancies in Namibia. Subsequent to the submission, the Commission and the Ministry will collectively craft a way forward that would maintain the protection and sustainability of Namibia's important natural resources, while at the same time enhancing competition in the relevant sector. Notwithstanding the findings and the collaboration with the Ministry, the Commission's view on the nature of the agreement remains the exclusive agreement between the conservancies, the parties that we mentioned, remains as expressed to the concerned parties in that those agreements stifle competition. Should there be no consensus on a resolution of this matter, the Commission reserves its rights to scrutinize the conduct further following the expiry of the 90 days period.
And now let's take a trip to the marketplace, but we'll be back shortly on the Radio News Bulletin. It just got started.
Siwanasha Namibia, kamberera omakarunga koe pamwe na imba. Inokara uri kwanima yesiga. Endera pamwe nethimbo muyuni wa technology. Imonena eimbiro joe mwene kongodhi yoye yopeke pamwe na imba. Imba oteta pamwe oshiwana no kwanja gakaneka onjimbo moshiwana ashihe sha Namibia. Moka epaka imba otamu adhika ehwata joonjimbo dhoongereka dhayooloka. Ngaashi ehangano ja Elsin, omaimburiro joshiherero, simane kakarunga ja katolika karoma, Joshimburu Sang Fortier no ongereka dimwe. Tudengera nena ngere wapumba omaimbiro ongereka yoe gakarega wedwako koka epa ka imbako nora hetatu imwe mbarindatu tano hetatu nora hamano datu. Nenge ututumine o email ko digital@omalaiti.com. Otovuru ku adha oka epa ka imbako App Store noko Google Play Store. Imonena imbagoe nena.
Welcome back. Now, as the Easter weekend continues to grow in cultural and economic significance, it brings with it a noticeable shift in consumer behavior. Experts say the period not only affects how and when people shop, but also has a strong influence on their financial planning and decision making. During Easter, consumers often face increased spending pressure due to travel, family gatherings, religious celebrations, and holiday promotions. Now, financial analysts note that while the holiday is the time of reflection and celebration, it can also trigger unplanned purchases and short-term overspending. Now, to offer some advice to the consumers in terms of spending, my colleague Bernadette Simon reached out to consumer analyst Salomo Ipinge. Let's take a listen to what that discussion has for us.
Good afternoon, Salome Pinge.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Salome Pinge, since it did have to be celebrated on the first Sunday after the partial full moon, and it's coming up on the 20th of April 2025, so what would you say in regards of financial discipline and spending? Easter weekend typically spent on foods, clothing, flowers, gifts, decorations, and many more.
Yeah, thank you for the question. And I think it's a very important question. And it's a question that falls in season. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate all the efforts that you make to ensure that people are well informed and advised in season. That people are able to navigate their decisions, mm-hmm. spend decisions over the Easter weekend. Mm-hmm. And as we may have observed over the time, yeah. Entrepreneurs or businesses in general mm-hmm. Capitalize in seasons as these. And you will see it through the way of their marketing strategies, how goods mm-hmm. or items are displayed in supermarkets or stores. Mm-hmm. All of that enticing the consumer to spend. Mm-hmm. And then generally we also have that culture of just feeling that yes, mm-hmm. it is mm-hmm. If people go on their spending spree, mm-hmm. Buying really irrelevant goods or matters. It is quite important that we, mm-hmm. as we enter into this season, as we enter into Easter, mm-hmm. we are vigilant enough and that we are well awakened not to spend impulsively.
Yeah.
Simply meaning that, you know, you went into a store for a specific purpose. Mm-hmm. Now you find yourself wanting that and that chocolate.
Something attractive. Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't need it. Mm-hmm. You've just decided impulsively.
Yes. Okay.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That means a note. Unnecessarily spending is not needed.
Unnecessary spending is not needed at all. We should let the financially savvy mm-hmm. and financial and have financial discipline.
Mm-hmm.
That you know before you pick an item, mm-hmm. Think about it. Is it a want? Is it a need? Trust me, that is a helpful tool
mm-hmm.
to enable us to always rethink before we take an action.
Okay.
I wanted to basis that please I urge and I would like to advise the general consumer mm-hmm. fellow Namibians, let's stay away from borrowing mm-hmm. especially debt
mm-hmm.
for the purpose of traveling because peer pressure or other
mm-hmm.
Friends are traveling and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Please let us not take this small little season
mm-hmm.
To burden for the rest of the year.
Yes. How does the holiday affect the consumers' behaviors and how it might influence financial planning and what strategies consumers might employ to manage their spending during this period of Easter weekend?
Yeah, ideally, and I did mention a few factors already in my past, and I can just outline or highlight
mm-hmm.
those. Primarily, marketing strategies from business owners. That's something that we have to be aware of, because, you know, these marketing strategies are designed to entice. So be on the lookout to really discipline yourself in that regard. Secondly, it can be society pressure, you know, because as you're doing, you also just want to do it and you have not been prepared to do it. And then so you end up having to incur debt to fulfill that is unprepared. And you never know, the other person have already prepared for that trip.
Yeah, so some people are just doing it because the other person is also doing it.
Absolutely. And this really takes us to say that, you know, the nation is the consumer, and thank you very much for tools like your platform that enables for us to engage and be able to advise each other in these areas, because finances is really the very essence of our lives, livelihood. And so it is advisable that consumers start preparing for functions or occasions such as these. And we all have unique needs and circumstances in terms of when do we need to travel or when do you need to have time and way to do some.
But
please save up for that from home. If you fail to do it this year, now we sacrifice for this Easter, where you are to discipline yourself and tighten your belt to say that you are not going to spend beyond your means, you would rather than already start putting aside something for your following Easter, and also each and every occasion like back to school, Christmas and so forth.
Yeah, there's still more events to come.
Yeah.
Okay, what are the typical spending trends during this Easter, and how does the trends vary across different consumers demographic on income groups?
Spending is generally across board, based on one's findings and observation over time. Despite the income group level individual, we'll see that reckless spending and unplanned spending goes across board.
Okay. Are there any trends or changes in Easter spending habits?
I beg your pardon?
Are there any trends or changes in Easter spending habits?
Over the years, we have seen a slight improvement in terms of spending. We do find that people don't necessarily spend unnecessarily, unlike before. In the newer generation, we are seeing a shift. Easter is treated more as an in-house, family time spending kind of a celebration, which really, really saves a lot of cost or money, as opposed to going to have dinner out or traveling and stuff. So we have seen a trend of a little bit of change in that regard, and I do believe that is quite positive.
Okay, especially this young generation, they like traveling, outings, and whatnot. So are there any common financial challenges associated with Easter spending, and does Easter lead to increased financial stress for consumers?
If you could just repeat the question again.
Are there any common financial challenges associated with Easter spending, and does Easter lead to increased financial stress for consumers?
Yeah, absolutely. It is during this season that a lot of people come out dragging again, and most likely to just really destroy the entire budget of the IA, because for those that and we have spoken about marketing strategies from business owners, you know, they can advertise, for example, furniture store, which can advertise you to buy a bed and have 2 months free without a payment, or 3 months free without a payment, but you haven't really calculated what that repayment impacts your livelihood or financial stand. So you find people trapped into debt, which ends up bringing them to anxiety, bringing them to stress. So start affecting all areas of their lives, being at work relationship, being their family relationship at home. It really start stalling up into spreading up into many different areas of the individual's lives. Hence, it's quite important, as we discuss this topic, that we really, really be cognizant in decision in our financial decision making.
Yes. Okay. How can businesses help customers manage their spending during Easter and maintain financial discipline?
Well, I mean, businesses are here to make money, so it's quite difficult. But commonly, they also really play a major role and a major impact in society. And ideally, if they could also then just provide educational tools to consumers and setting up a certain criteria, advising the consumers when making these financial decisions, that can be really a powerful tool. For example, if a consumer is approaching a credit provider for a facility, the credit provider or the business owner that the repayment of that loan required would negatively affect the consumer, then he should be able to take that ownership in being able to inform and advise the consumer accordingly.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much, Salome Pinge. Thank you for your time. Have a productive day ahead.
Thank you. It was great. It was a great pleasure for having me. Thank you to your listeners.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye for now.
And there we had it from consumer analyst Salomo Ipinke in that conversation facilitated by Bernadette Simon. And of course, it's time to be very conscious this time around of Easter weekend as spending becomes common. Now, with that being said, let's take a trip to the marketplace, but we'll be back with yet more news right here on the Radar News Bulletin.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Mukungulele kwa tuko maikuto amina apidi kwa mavuchaziva. Uvele kisema app atolokasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferile, mise kunani zencha. Kuzo wakwa kushimba lifera za livuka, kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba app, mwikutwe kulibusie mba santo ye mwinetuna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha ni encha falizwe ikopo nye mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilini, kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali njira mlimu. Zengwi, zefu mani hamasfera sesfa app ya imba, ize tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, smane kakarunga, Africans, ni zengwi zengata. Mulodi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavera kulisfera sa kereke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mlumere imele kwa digital@omalaiti.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Welcome back. Did you know that Wednesday's edition of the Villager newspaper is out? I hope you've grabbed your copy, but if you haven't, well, it's still available. Now, Friday's edition of the e-paper comes out tomorrow, so be expectant of that one. Now, to stay ahead on the latest news, do subscribe to the Eagle Media House WhatsApp channel. That is by texting on 081-200-4144 for more updates. Also, do follow our Facebook page, that is Eagle FN Namibia, for hourly updates. News that is trending within the globe and within the borders of Namibia, so that you're well informed and you're well educated. Now, with that being said, another trip to the marketplace as we have a scheduled commercial break coming up. But when we return, we'll continue with our news bulletin right here on the radar. You can also partake in the news. That is by dialing on our studio number 083-288-401. Remember, we also want you to be part of the news bulletin. So engage us to share your comment, contributions, or opinions right here on the radar.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Taking flights has never been easier. Paratus is introducing SkyFi internet packages with speeds that will have you reaching for your seatbelts. Starting from $500, excluding VAT, per month, with speeds reaching up to 10 megabits per second. There's even a prepaid option where you can top up your SkyFi internet for just $15 per gigabyte. No contracts, no fuss. Visit your nearest Paratus branch to find out more. Or go to paratus.africa/Namibia to sign up online. Always prepare, Paratus.
Welcome back. Deputy Minister of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sports, Arts and Culture, Dino Balotti, accompanied by Commerce Regional Governor Sam Shafishuna Nuyomer and senior City of Windhoek officials, conducted a familiarization tour of key sports facilities across the capital this week. Now, the delegation visited the Khoriakab Soccer Field, Commercedale Stadium and the Katra Youth Complex to assess the current condition and explore opportunities for revitalization. Now, a key highlight of the tour was the minister's proposal to upgrade the Khoriakab soccer field, currently owned by the City of Windhoek, into a fully developed sports stadium. Now, discussions are expected to follow between the ministry and the city regarding land rights and the use of existing technical plans to fast track the project. Now, to speak more on this, I got in touch with Eagle FM's sports analyst, Hende. Let's take a listen to that conversation. Good afternoon, Hende, and welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin.
Good afternoon, Julia.
Hende, why is it important to upgrade the Khoriakab soccer field into a proper sports stadium for the local community? I mean, especially in terms of youth development and community engagement.
I mean, for one, the upgrade would be needed so that the stadium can serve its original purpose, which was to be a sports facility,
mm-hmm.
but also to fill the gap that currently persists of the lack of facilities that many of our athletes have around the country. So if we have an existing dormant facility, whatever is needed to be done to get the facility up and running should occur so that our athletes have a place to practice and play their matches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are some of the social and economic benefits we can expect if money is invested in fixing and improving community sports facilities like Khuriakab, which is situated on the outskirts of Windhoek?
I mean, social benefits would be the common ones that you might think of, keeping the youth and so on active, keeping them busy, keeping them away from things that are not productive, that are not good for them.
Yeah.
It would be a good community building setting. Community can gather there to watch athletes participate in their various sports. Economic wise, you know, various tournaments and things can be held there, can be used as a venue for matches of any kind, whether it's league matches, whether it's, like I said, tournaments happening, community tournaments. Like now, Easter, we're having a lot of community tournaments happening. You know, next year, that venue could be one for Easter tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the economic effect starts from there, just from having a viable venue that various companies or corporations or even individuals can rent out for their events.
Mm. So you would definitely say a renovated Khuriakab Stadium could attract professional league matches or even a regional tournament?
Yes, I mean, I don't see why not that for example, the Den Marine Premiership matches could be played there if it's upgraded to that standard. Regional matches, definitely. You know, if events, like I mentioned, that are happening this Easter, those are things that could happen there. Youth tournaments could be happening there, so it's just a matter of getting the, upgrading the basis so that the basic infrastructure is in place for these matches to happen.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since some of these sports fields are being used to house homeless people, from a sports analyst, how would you say the government can find a way to help homeless people while also bringing back sports to those places?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the job of the ministry, whether it's the Ministry of Education, Innovation, New Sports, Arts and Culture, and perhaps another ministry working together to find a solution in terms of how to house these people. But it points to a larger problem that goes beyond sports, and so these people just found this facility dormant and found it as a suitable place for them to house themselves, so to say. So I think that's part of what the ministries have to come together and see what is a viable solution mm-hmm. for the people that have now taken over this facility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Hinda, also, how can improved sports venues, I know you have spoken about this within our conversation already, but furthermore, how can improved sports venues help keep young people busy, and not only busy, but safe and focused, especially in areas like Katutura and Kommersdal?
Yeah, I mean, as a former young sports person myself, once you just have the facility there, once you have the opportunity to participate in sports, it's really as simple as just showing up to the venue and spending your time there, really. I mean, once you know that you have a reliable place to go to every day after school, it's almost automatic. You just always find yourself there, you allocate all your time towards there, and you start to build a community as well with the people that you spend there. So the other things they don't really become an option anymore because you're having such a good and productive time at the facility.
Mm, indeed.
Yes.
Hinda, thank you so much for making time for On the Reading News Bulletin.
Thank you for having me.
And there you had it from Eagle FM's sports analyst, Hinda. And now I have a sports fanatic, that is David Kamulo. David, welcome to On the Reading News Bulletin.
Yes, good afternoon.
Afternoon. So now in terms of the minister of the deputy minister of, let me just break it down to sports, arts and culture, because this has to do with sports, has proposed mm-hmm. to upgrade Khuriakab soccer field into a fully
pledge stadium. David, what does this mean for soccer players, and what does it mean for the community at large should this actually materialize?
For a couple of years now, we have seen that most of the kids are just playing on the ground, and sometimes you will find that there are also broken bottles at those areas.
Mm.
So, and the community themselves, they are also hungry to play sports, and I think it's a very good initiative for the people of those areas, especially those that are also playing their league at Havana,
mm-hmm.
for them to have a facility of a good standard.
Mm.
And also for the sponsors to come on board, sometimes we need to have good infrastructure.
Mm.
And without good infrastructure, it becomes very difficult for the sponsors also to come on board when they want to sponsor the youth. And it will also help most of the youth that are staying in those areas also to keep themselves busy and to go away with spending time at Shebeens and also indulge in so many activities
mm.
that are not good for them.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. and what do you think a renovated Horia Hub Stadium could attract professional league matches or even regional tournaments?
Of course. If you look at the number of tournaments that are currently held at Komaza Stadium, which currently it's only the stadium that is being used in the whole of Katutura.
Yeah.
You will see that the number is always increasing, and then we have also people coming from as far as the Maheke region that are also taking part in this tournament. And so if they can come up with such a magnitude stadium, it will actually bring not only the Premier League, so mm-hmm. to say, but mm-hmm. even if we have got tournaments like the World Cup that was held in South Africa
yeah.
in 2010, once we have such a stadium, we will invite most of the countries that will held tournament there. They will want to be part of Namibia, or they want to come and train themselves here, and then just go to play tournaments in South Africa, for instance. So it's really a good thing.
Mm. Now, in terms of some of the soccer fields or the stadiums are being accommodative of homeless people. Now, would you say that the government is being fair in this regard in terms of sports? Shouldn't they perhaps find other places to host them? Of course, it was meant to be a temporary situation which ended up being much longer. What are your sentiments in that regard?
It's really difficult. And sometimes I really feel that if the government can look into other possible areas where they can accommodate these homeless, it will be a good thing. Because I remember we have a couple of tournaments and also social leagues that were happening, especially at the Katutua Youth Complex.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as the Komaza B field, where they are currently hosting the homeless people. But if you look at the number of teams that are now don't have especially places, not only for games, but also for training,
yeah.
it's really become very difficult now. And it's for the ministry, I think what they need to do is to find you. Even a place where they can accommodate these people so that these facilities are being used for what it was meant for.
Mm. For the intended purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, as much as we are anticipating and we are happy with the proposal of Horia Hub soccer field being turned into a stadium, in other words, Okapale Stadium, what are some of the difficulties that or the challenges that we might anticipate from this?
If you look at our current flow, Windhoek has been increasing in terms of population. And I think for us to make sure that people are arriving on time, because if we have this facility, but in terms of transport, we do not strategize on the routes that are going to these facilities, it will be meaningless. So the ministry, together with the city of Windhoek, I think they need to look into alternatives of how people will be able to get to this venue, and also to make sure that these roads are up to standards.
Actually, yes. Other developments could actually come out of this initiative or this proposed initiative.
Yes, it might create employment for the youth as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a good thing. But then we need to really look into the issue of roads infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
and how we can mitigate the late coming as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can accommodate all the people, and
yeah.
then the people should be able to reach on time, and maybe we can also make sure that we can create other means of transport, maybe
sure.
to put up a train or any other, not only to talk about roads infrastructure, but also other means of transport.
That's true. David mm-hmm. Kamolo, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reader News Bulletin.
Thank you very much, and have a blessed day.
Thank you.
And there we had it from sports fanatic, that is David Kamolo. For now, let's take a trip to the marketplace, but we still have some more news coming your way, so stay tuned right here on the Reader.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalighty.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
Onkundana ombwanawa kani hauto. Owa pumbwa oshimaliwa mendelelo. Ndele ouna oshendiso. Ouna anilonga ya pumbwa okufutwa. Ashike mboka ina onjo doe otaende kashona. Ngele onkalamwenyo otai nyengana. Otukesh otai ningi ompu. Tu etela ohauto oye. Etopewa epresenda wa milongo lena tano. Dongushu yoshendiso shoe. Mure ashike wemintetilo milongo lena tano. Ino pumbwa oka payslip nenge o statement ayo mbanga. O hauto yoye ashike. Mona omula oshimaliwa ethimbo weshi pumbwa.
Easy money.
Tudengera nena ko nora hamano imwe ne nora nora hamano heari hamano. Ano ko nora hamano imwe ne nora nora hamano heari hamano. Oshipulera ko otokesh.
Welcome back, and now we take you through economic indicators that are trending today. On agricultural commodities, the top commodity losers are cheese, standing in at negative 4.46% and rice at negative 2.40%. Grains are leading by palm oil at 1.62%, with rubber at 1.27% and cotton at 0.58%. Non-metal commodities, the top commodity losers are copper at negative 1.81%, with silver at minus 1.18% and gold at minus 0.83%. Energy commodities, the top commodity gainers are natural gas, EU Dutch, TTF at 0.95%, natural gas at 0.90%, crude oil, WTI at 0.88%, and blend crude oil at 0.60%.
Now DAX takes the lead in Europe. Frankfurt's DAX edged higher to around 21,370 on Thursday, outperforming its peers, lifted by strong corporate earnings and optimism over a potentially dovish stance from the European Central Bank. Now, ECB's president press conference for updated insights on Eurozone growth and inflation amidst ongoing trade uncertainties. Siemens Energy led the advance up from 13% after delivering strong second quarter earnings and lifting its guidance for the year. European stocks lower. Now, major European bounces traded lower on Thursday, with both the stock exchange of 50 and stock exchange of 600 down at 0.4% as investors digest fresh corporate earnings and look ahead to the European Central Bank's upcoming policy decision and continue to follow the trade war. Meanwhile, the ECB is widely expected to deliver another 25 basis points rate cut today. On the trade front, optimism rose after President Donald Trump claimed big progress in trade talks with Japan, fueling hopes of potential deals with other countries. Silver pulls back as trade lock in gains. Now, silver prices fell to around $32.50 per ounce on Thursday, earning from two-week highs as traders booked profits following a strong rally in precious metals. Now, precious metals surge in recent sessions, with gold scaling new all-time highs as global trade uncertainties and broader economic concerns boosted safe haven demand. ECB to cut rates by 25 basis points. The European Central Bank is widely expected to cut rates by 25 basis points on Thursday, bringing policy rates to the top of ECB's estimated neutral range. Now, the world marked the sixth straight cut since June, lowering the key deposit rate to 2.25%. The move comes amid weakening growth, subdued inflation, and uncertainty from US tariffs. ECB President Christine has warned that the tariff impact could slash Eurozone growth this year by half from an already modest forecast of 0.9%. Now, recent euro strength, failing oil prices, and cautious consumer sentiments are adding downside pressure into inflation, while a 90-day pause in the EU-US tariff retaliation offers temporary relief. The ECB remains concerned about the broader impact on investment and trade. Copper pulls back on global growth worries. Copper futures fell to $4.60 per pound on Thursday, retreating from two-week highs. A renewed concern over a tariff-driven global shutdown weighed on sentiment. A White House statement steered market uncertainty, indicating that some Chinese goods could face tariffs up to 245%, encompassing both existing and newly proposed levies dating back to President Trump's first term. Now, while China has signaled openness to renewed trade talks, it's reportedly seeking greater respect, clearer policy direction, and a designation U.S. negotiator with full backing from President Trump before moving forward. Meanwhile, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell warned that tariffs could exacerbate inflation and dampen growth, further complicating the Fed's dual mandate. Now, Powell also reiterated that the Fed is in no rush to cut interest rates, opting to wait for more clarity before making any policy changes. Now, with that being said, we pause here and take a trip to the marketplace. But remember, you can also be part of the news bulletin. Our studio line is open. That is on 083-288-401. Perhaps you would want to share your sentiments with us with the news that on the news that we covered, perhaps on Easter weekend or a proposal for Horiahab Okapale Stadium to be turned into a stadium. Now, with that being said, we'll pause here and we'll see you after the commercial break as we'll bring you news beyond the borders. Stay tuned.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people
use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Siwana sa Namibia, kamberera o makarunga koe pamwe na imba. Inokara uri kwa nima yesiga. Endera pamwe nethimbo muyuni wa technology. Imonena eimbiro joe mwene kongo dhiyo peke pamwe na imba. Imba oteta pamwe oshiwana no kwanja kakaneka onjimbo moshiwana ashihe sa Namibia. Moka epaka imba otamu adhika ehwata jonjimbo dhongereka dhayoroka. Gashi, ehangano ja Elsin, umaimburiro joshiherero, simane kakarunga ja katolika karoma, joshimburu sang fortier nongereka dimwe. Tudengera nena ngere wapumba umaimbiro ongereka yoe gakarega wevako. Koka epa ka imbako nora hetatu imwe mbarindatu tano hetatu nora hamano datu. Nenge ututumine o email ko digital@omalaiti.com. Otovuruku adha oka epa ka imbako App Store noko Google Play Store. Imonena imbagoe nena.
Welcome back for news beyond the borders. We start off regionally and then we move over to continental news. Thereafter, we bring you international news. Now, starting off in South Africa on a much said note, as forensic investigators comb scenes of a scholar transport driver shooting.
Reporter Calvin Shusha, who is still at the scene and joins us now live for yet another update. And Calvin, of course, feelings of shock and despair there, especially as we try to piece together what the motive for the shooting might have been.
Well, Ayanda, shocking indeed. You could hear Lucia Smith explaining what she saw and telling SAPC News that her brother was shot 17 times. She did confirm to SAPC News, Ayanda, that police officers did allow her to go closer to that white venture vehicle that is still standing here. But the update that we have now, Ayanda, is that I can confirm now that forensics investigators or officials are here at the scene. Now they are all over that car, and most of them, you would understand, when they do their investigations, they are taking pictures and all. And we heard one of them saying that they are waiting for a vehicle from the mortuary so that they can be able to take the body that is inside that car. We will try by all means to see if we can be able to capture that. Also, family and relatives of the deceased are here at the scene, but unfortunately most of them do not want to engage or talk to SABC News, especially on camera. There are those, Ayanda, that saw gunshots, but also they don't want to talk to us. Rather, most of them saying that they'll rather send a voice note because they are fearing for their lives. I managed to speak to the South African Police Service communicator, that would be Colonel Mavela Masondo, to confirm the incident and what are the police saying that now as we are speaking, he is busy issuing a statement, and he promised us that he will be here in 30 minutes. That will tell you that we'll be able to engage with him, and he will be able to tell us more on what transpired. But the situation, Ayanda, is calm. I have to tell you, police officials are here. The place is calm. I just want to step out of shot so that you can be able to see Stello showing you police officials and Gauteng officials also here in this street. The place has been cordoned off. It is a crime scene that is active, I understand. So most people who are here, they told us that in most issues that are affecting this area is gangsterism. And they are telling us that they don't know what happened, but they doubt, I under that, what happened here is related to the ongoing taxi violence or spats that has engulfed the province of Gauteng. So most of them would understand they don't want to talk to the media, but they are shocked, Ayanda, because they are saying a 60-year-old that is still inside that white vehicle was a person who was loved by many. He didn't have any issues, and we are told that he was shot numerous times, and the car fled. Unfortunately, no one managed to see the car under that fled. So we are still camping here. Most people are engaging with police officers. I know most these officers are trying to get more information on what happened. But what I can tell you is that more family members or relatives of the deceased are here, forensic investigators here, trying to make sure that no one tampers with the crime scene. And even ourselves, we were told to move a little bit far from the scene because they don't want us to tamper with the crime scene, because the crime scene is active. For now, we will camp here with our video journalist Stylo and monitor the situation. But for now, we will wait for Colonel Mavela Masondo from the South African Police Service Communications Unit. He will be able to brief us and tell us more when he arrives. Ayanda.
Before we let you go, Calvin, I wonder if you can let us in on what you've been able to ascertain about that community. I mean, Lucia Smith, who you spoke about, mentioned how they suspect this particular crime and the gun that was used here may have been used in another shooting elsewhere.
Yes, that was what she told SABC News. But you know, when it comes to situations like this, it's not something that we can really confirm, because we...
And now for a scheduled commercial, and we'll be back with more news.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
It's early Easter savings at ShopRite. Get low prices on roasts, fresh fruit and vegetables, baked goods, treats and everything else you need for easy early Easter with deals like 3x16 grams eggs galore mellow Easter eggs for a low $9.99 for a pack, and the bakery traditional hot cross buns, which is $14.99, 6 per pack. Offer valid until 20 April. We're making early Easter easier with our low prices. Only at ShopRite. Lower prices you can trust. Always.
Welcome back. Meanwhile, Zambia has recorded increased fishing production.
The government has employed various initiatives aimed at improving the fisheries and livestock subsectors. Such initiatives include the Zambia Aquaculture Enterprise Development Project, the Zambia Aquaculture Project, and the Enhanced Mohoda Livestock Investment Program. These programs have helped the country to record a significant increase in fish production, indicating positive strides in the country's agricultural development.
Zambia's national programs are deliberately structured to align with continental priorities under the African Union's agriculture, livestock and blue economy frameworks. Sustainable fisheries management has yielded tangible results, with a notable growth in fish production from 173,000 tons 297,000 metric tons, representing a 10.5% growth in the past year.
Moses Filakati is African Union Commissioner for Agriculture, Rural Development, Blue Economy and Sustainable Environment.
Fish and livestock, which are under your ministry, are some of the commodities that are really crucial for trade in Africa. However, we need to improve our game on reducing post-harvest losses and do value addition in order to improve the quality and create jobs.
Meanwhile, The Ministry of Fisheries and Livestock and the Golden Valley Agriculture Research Trust GARD have enhanced production of pasture.
That we have gone now inside to improve the range line. We call it range line improvement. So we have what we call stylo fences, a stylo in short, for people to understand, that we broadcast in the field to ensure that these animals can access both the grass as well as the protein.
And when it comes to the same pastures, this can be used as a business. Those farmers who are not livestock farmers, they can grow the broadest grass, bale it, and sell. We are aware that the market price varies, so something that they can diversify into as farmers, instead of just looking at maize or soybeans or other enterprises.
A growing harvest, both in water and on land, Zambia's progress reflects a broader continental goal of sustainable agricultural transformation. I'm Josampo reporting in Lusaka.
In Ivory Coast, the world's largest cocoa producer, farmers worry over new U.S. tariffs.
Bean plantations guarantee the livelihoods of almost the entire village of Ngatakro in central Ivory Coast. But this year, the farmers worry that they might not be able to sell sufficient produce. The reason, 21% of tariffs on Ivory Coast exports to the United States, imposed by U.S. President Donald Trump in early April. The price isn't good. If we hear the American president came to put a tax on the price of cocoa, it's really not good for us. It doesn't help us. Cocoa is Ivory Coast's main export to the United States. The tariff news has left many farmers in confusion during an already difficult season due to unfavorable weather conditions. You see, this stockroom is full. Donald Trump's customs tax is causing us problems. Because of this, people can't buy our products. We are already feeling the effects, so if there's a solution to this problem, we'd be happy. Ahead of Ghana, Ivory Coast is the world's largest cocoa producer. Selling the precious beans makes up between 15 and 20% of the country's GDP, a reason for the government to worry over the effects of the US tariffs too. We are affected because about 4% of our trade takes place with the United States. This mainly concerns cocoa, rubber, and a little cashew. We must first try to see what new outlets we can find for our products to be able to compensate for this loss. On 11th of April, U.S. President Donald Trump announced a 90-day pause on some of the tariffs. Yet a new universal 10% tariff will still apply. For Ivory Coast, there could be only one solution, making cocoa more expensive.
Protesters in Haiti demand protection against gangs.
Bad weather did not stop some die-hard protesters who took to the streets of Haiti's capital on Wednesday to demand security against gangs. Blocking roads and putting up signs, the protest was initially expected to draw thousands in Port-au-Prince, but the main event was cancelled due to the heavy rain. Haitian people want to see development. We have been waiting for it for a long time. We see that gangs are everywhere. We're going to storm the Villa d'Akoy, the Prime Minister's office. The Presidential Council is keeping the country hostage, the people hostage, and the power hostage. 2 weeks ago, a protest in the same neighborhood gathered thousands, and the police had to use tear gas and smoke grenades to prevent protesters from marching all the way to the office of Alex Didier Fissemi, whom the council appointed as the prime minister in November.
The African Union calls for an urgent action to strengthen healthcare systems.
The COVID-19 pandemic was a bitter pill for Africa. Health systems pushed beyond their limits, and the agonizingly long wait for vaccines put millions of lives at risk. As COVID fades, new challenges are rising, disease outbreaks are accelerating, while foreign aid is dwindling.
When we have so many outbreaks and we have mutations of virus, we have less resources, it means the next mutation of a virus can become a pandemic. And this is why we are warning the world. Now we are talking about disease X because we have so many viruses that can become pandemic anytime. Mpox, Ebola, Marburg.
Sweeping aid cuts from the United States has been the biggest blow to life-saving health programs. But the continent is not taking it lying down.
The U.S. doesn't owe us anything. They were just helping. And so the onus lies on us to stand on our own. We can't go crying after Trump. He told us he doesn't want us. It's very clear. He made it very clear. Especially us in South Africa. He said he doesn't want us for reasons of genocides and oppressions and expropriations, which are not there. We all know that they are not there.
As part of the G20 efforts, the African Union launched a public-private sector initiative to build pharmaceutical manufacturing chains and strengthen health systems. Africa carries 25% of the global disease burden, but depends almost entirely on imported medicines, making it vulnerable in emergencies.
We need to involve the private sector to invest in some areas to make difference. We are talking about local manufacturing, we are talking about digital agenda, we are talking about supply chain management.
While positive steps have been made since COVID-19, the continent's pharmaceutical manufacturing hubs are concentrated in a few countries, including South Africa, Nigeria, and Egypt, a scenario that needs to change quickly.
This triple P finds expression in an African Union 2022 Heads of State resolution, where Africa said that by 2040, it set itself a goal to procure 70% of all its medical countermeasures, which of course includes test kits, diagnostics, pharmaceuticals and vaccines, to purchase or procure 70% from Africa by 2040.
The pace of disease outbreaks in Africa threatens the stability of the entire world. But the message from political and business leaders is clear. The continent cannot continue to put its health in the hands of others. The African Centers for Disease Control has also called for decisive policy to attract investment and build greater trust between African nations, one of the biggest stumbling blocks to expand the pharmaceutical market. Julie Sharasichtian, South Africa.
Somalia unveils first voter registration in over 50 years.
Launched a voter registration drive in the capital Mogadishu for the first time in more than 50 years. The exercise comes ahead of presidential elections scheduled for 2026. The elections will move the country away from a clan-based system to direct elections where one person gets one vote. CGTN's David Mbithi has the details.
The voter registration drive kicked off in Somalia's capital, Mogadishu, on Tuesday. Hundreds of residents flocked to this registration center in Shangani district to receive their voter identification card, many calling it a watershed moment in the country's history.
I am one of the people who arrived early this morning here at the Shangani district to get a voter registration card. I have never seen such a one-person, one-vote model, and I hope to be one of the candidates in the coming elections.
Somalia last held direct national elections in 1967. The most recent vote in 2022 followed an indirect model in which clan elders and regional officials elected parliamentarians who then chose the president. The clan-based system was introduced in 1969 as a periodic arrangement for managing political representation following Somalia's civil war. In 2024, Somalia's president Hassan Sheikh Mahamud pledged to end the system that analysts argued concentrated power among a small group of political elites, leading to corruption.
I came here at 7 a.m. because it's the first voter registration held in more than 50 years. As a young man, I'm very pleased to witness this great event.
Somalia is due to hold local elections in June, ahead of the country's presidential polls scheduled for next year. The election plan was first unveiled in 2023, but initially ran into problems, with leading Somali politicians saying it lacked the full support of federal states. The cabinet eventually approved it last year. Many voters hope it will bring more stability to the country, which is struggling to emerge from decades of conflict, including the Al-Shabaab insurgency.
I was here under the heat of the sun for the whole day, thanks to Allah, because I would love to see a one-person, one-vote election being held in my country.
Somalia's National Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission says the process will be rolled out across the country in the coming weeks as the country ushers in a new chapter. David Midi, CGTN.
Meanwhile, Uganda has opened a key bridge that is linking South Sudan and DRC Congo.
On the Karuma Bridge after weeks of closure for maintenance, the bridge is a key link on an international road that links Uganda to the South Sudan and the Democratic Republic of Congo. The 61-year-old bridge was first closed in May last year after major cracks appeared, posing a serious risk to motorists. It was temporarily reopened in December again after repairs, but shut down again in March to allow installation of critical bridge components.
We've been undertaking our normal routine maintenance of the structure. And as you know, any aged structure, even if it's actually a human being, maintenance is very essential for such structures. So we've been doing this, but now we did undertake to have a complete or a comprehensive diagnostic study of the structure itself to confirm its longevity, reliability, and that's when we now identified even those defects.
The bridge will now be able to cope with temperature changes and increased traffic loads. The Chinese firm China Railway 7th Group and the Ugandan military have worked to ensure normal traffic flow and will continue with minor maintenance. Now the government is planning to build a new Karuma Bridge over the Nile to ease traffic on the older crossing. Now work on the new bridge is due to start next year. Isabel Nakiria, CGTN Kampala, Uganda.
You are tuned into On the Reader News Bulletin. You can also still come through and partake on the news. That is by dialing on 083-288-401. In our commercial break, and we'll be back to continue with our news bulletin.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, Dio Gerero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Selfword Diera, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-63. You can also email us at digital@omalighty.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
Welcome back. You are tuned into On the Reader News Bulletin, and we are busy covering you and taking you through news beyond the borders. Now, meanwhile, in Kenya, African agencies sign a charter to cover recovery of assets acquired through corruption.
Annette is helping us on the cell language interpretation this afternoon. Let's begin. And Kenya has recovered corruptly acquired and unexplained assets worth 2 billion shillings in the last 5 years and is pursuing forfeiture of the corruptly acquired assets with an estimated value of 50 billion shillings. This is according to a recent revelation by the Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission CEO Abdi Mohamud during the inaugural meeting of the African Assets Recovery Practitioners Forum in Nairobi. The forum saw over 40 African Union sign a charter with guidelines on how to monitor, detect, and recover corruptly acquired assets hidden in other continents.
Also, the EFCC, the executive chairman will not be here due to...
Assets from Africa is still being stolen and being taken to other continents. So what we have come up with is a forum of people, of experts from Africa who will come up with solutions to deal with this issue and bring up African solution. Basically, we have signed the charter today on how we are going to operate as a forum. And the cases that are currently in court where we need to recover assets, they are worth about 50 billion Kenya shillings. That's quite a lot of money. And these are cases that are in court at various stages, and we think we will recover these assets at the end of the day.
Residents living around Kakamega airstrip urged the government to fast-track expansion.
To News Desk, my name is Calvin Nyakundi. Let's now shift our focus to some stories in the world of business. Now, residents living along the Kakamega Airport in Shinyalu constituency have accused the government of delaying the expansion of the airport as previously scheduled, citing an increase in crime in the area. Now, the airport, which used to receive flights from Skyward Express, was closed on September 28th, 2024, that is last year, after the company banned its flights from landing at the airport due to poor conditions. According to the residents, the airport is now used as a hideout for criminals and a grazing area for livestock, urging the government to fulfill its promise to expand the airport to improve the economy of Kakamega County.
Na kiwanja ndege ilikuwa inafanya kazi kwa hiyo pesa. Sasa hivi
tukitarajia maendeleo.
Wakati ambapo unakuja hapa kwa uwanja wa ndege, tafadhali hapa Kakamega utuambie tu ukweli. Na kama ni maneno ya kusema tu kwa
The World Trade Organization says global trade could slide this year due to tariffs.
The volume of global trade is likely to reduce by 0.2% this year, according to the World Trade Organization. The body has linked this to recent U.S. President Donald Trump's shifting tariff policies in the standoff with China, and further warned that global trade might take a more severe hit.
They further warn that trade in goods worldwide will further slump by 1.5% if Trump follows through on his stiffest tariffs on most nations due to the uncertainty unsettling businesses. Trump suspended the toughest set of tariffs for 90 days earlier this month, so more than 70 countries have a chance to address U.S. trade concerns. Meanwhile, he is increasing taxes on Chinese imports to 145% and engaging in a lengthy back and forth with Canada and Mexico about tariffs on their goods.
A German doctor is charged with murder of 15 patients.
A German doctor has been charged with murdering 15 of his patients. Prosecutors in Berlin accuse him of using lethal drugs to kill people under his care and then setting fire to their homes in some cases in order to cover his tracks. For more on this story, I'm joined by our Europe regional editor, Paul Moss. So, Paul, what more can you tell us about this case?
Well, the prosecutors haven't named the suspect. We know that he was a 40-year-old man. He was a palliative care doctor. Now, that's usually understood as a doctor. Palliative care is usually understood to mean dealing with people who are terminally ill, not trying to cure them, but dealing with pain and making them as comfortable as possible. Although palliative care can sometimes be used to mean just treating people who are very ill. And what's alleged is that this doctor went to their homes to treat people and, as you've suggested, injected them with a lethal cocktail of drugs, a muscle relaxant initially, and then he injected them with an anesthetic. As you mentioned, what's particularly unusual is that he then was accused of setting fire to some of the homes. We know from previous awful cases where people have been killed by medical professionals, it can be very difficult for people to spot that there's anything going on, particularly when the people in question were, in any case, very ill. So it's very possible that it was setting fire to these buildings that eventually made police notice something was going on.
So the individual has been charged, but the investigation is still continuing, isn't it, Paul?
It is. He's been charged. He was arrested last August when four deaths were found to be suspicious, the ones where the buildings caught fire. But then the investigation expanded, and they've basically been looking through the records of all the people who died who were being treated by this doctor. We know that they've already exhumed 12 bodies. They're planning to exhume three more bodies in order to look at them. They're still looking at the records. Now, what they say is at the moment there are 395 deaths which they're looking at. And I want to stress, no one is at this point suggesting this man killed all 395 people, but it does give you an idea of the scale of the investigation currently underway. And there's one other thing, which is just the strange timing of this. It's happened just as another palliative care doctor is on trial in Germany in the city of Aachen. He too is accused of murdering, in this case, nine of his patients with a lethal cocktail of drugs. In that case, prosecutors say that he did it, believe it or not, in order, they say, to have a lighter workload at night. The doctor who's just been charged in Berlin, what the prosecution have said is he was motivated by a lust for murder.
Paul, thank you very much for that update. Paul Moss.
Perhaps a closer investigation has to be done, or if closer monitoring has to be done around palliative care doctors, of course. Perhaps, just in my opinion or thinking, with now two doctors that have been reported here, both in palliative care, and with the other one giving excuses to say he got overwhelmed with having to deal with patients at night. Of course, perhaps it can be very overwhelming for them, and then all of a sudden they feel like they should take matters into their own hands. But that's a discussion perhaps we could have one time here. And you are also invited to partake in the News Bulletin and share your opinions and contributions with what we bring to you. That is on 083-288-401. Now we move on to other news, where the US and Iran are set for more nuclear talks in Rome.
Iranian media says the director of the UN's nuclear watchdog has arrived in Tehran to speak to its officials ahead of nuclear talks with the US. It comes just hours after Rafael Grossi told the French newspaper Le Monde that Iran is not far from developing a nuclear weapon. But he stressed that the IAEA was not party to US negotiations on Iran's nuclear program. The next round is due to take place in Rome on Saturday. Iran has insisted its right to continue enriching uranium is non-negotiable. Let's speak to former British Army officer and NATO commander Hamish de Bretton Gordon. He's also a chemical weapons expert. Hamish, thanks very much for being with us. What do you make of what it's reported in Le Monde, you know, from Rafael Grossi, that Iran is not far from having that capacity?
Well, in technical terms, Senior Grossi is correct. We know that since the treaty was suspended by Trump in his first term in office, that the Iranians have continued to enrich uranium. We believe they have about 300 kilograms at a level of about 60%. You need it at 90% to make it as a viable nuclear material. That would probably only take them weeks or months, and they've probably got enough for about 17 warheads. However, having said that, it's not an insignificant task to turn a warhead into something that you can put on a missile and fire. We know the Iranians have got missiles, but we've already seen that their missiles have been easily interdicted by the Americans and the Israelis. First of all, I think the thing says, you know, a non-nuclear Iran is really what the whole world wants. We've seen the malign influence of their proxies like the Houthis and Hezbollah around the world. So what Senior Grossi doing is a good thing, and hopefully the Americans can convince the Iranians to stop enriching uranium and going towards a nuclear program, because we've already heard Trump saying that he would take those research facilities out, and it is fairly clear that he could do that if he so desired.
And that sounds like a very extreme and potentially worrying response, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. I think the Americans are really putting their cards on the table. I think Iran is much diminished since the Americans and the Israelis have pretty much written off the Houthis and Hezbollah. And Iran is desperate to remain sort of a key player on the world stage, and sees that nuclear is the only way to do that. However, they're also, I'm sure, well aware of the ability of the Americans and potentially the Israelis to stop their nuclear program. And hopefully the Americans can persuade them in these series of meetings, the next one, as you say, on Saturday in Rome, to prevent the Americans and others having to take demonstrative action to do that.
President Trump did pull out of the previous nuclear deal between Iran and others in 2018, negotiated by Barack Obama over a very long period of time, complex technical talks. What do you think the likelihood is of this administration being able to embark on something similar?
Well, it appears that the Trump administration are taking a slightly different approach, as we've seen they have to the war in Ukraine and elsewhere. Now, the original treaty, as you say, arranged by Barack Obama, was really doing what it was supposed to do to limit Iran's ability to develop fissile material that they could use in a nuclear bomb. And had that continued, one assumes that they would be no closer to making a nuclear bomb than they are now. However, having said that, Trump has a different approach, and we have seen that he's been successful in nullifying the Houthi threat down in Yemen, and this might well be successful. But of course, one would hope that treaty and negotiation is the best way to reduce the threat of an Iranian nuclear weapon, rather than actually conflict that could spiral further conflict in the region.
Hey, Mr. Breton-Born, thank you very much indeed for your time today.
Pleasure.
The UK Supreme Court backs a biological definition of a woman.
The unanimous decision of this court is that the terms woman and sex in the Equality Act 2010 refer to a biological woman and biological sex.
That was a big ruling from the UK's highest court as they clarify the meaning of the UK's main law when it comes to equality and preventing discrimination. It's left campaigners for women's rights claiming victory and many campaigners for trans people's rights feeling worried. We will explain why and what it means on this episode of the UK's daily news podcast, Newscast. Hello, it's Adam in the Newscast studio.
Hello, it's Alex in the Westminster studio.
It's James, also in the Newscast studio.
James, you're here as Scotland editor rather than presenter of Newscast.
Because that's your job.
Well, I mean, let's share it around. And also we're joined by Alison Holt, who's the BBC's social affairs editor. Hello again, Alison.
Hello again.
Right, we're going to do the whole episode on this judgment from the Supreme Court today because there's lots to talk about, lots of nuance we can get into as well. And, well, at the heart of it, an 88-page document, which quotes lots of other laws, which run to lots of other pages. So, James, I think the easiest thing maybe is for you to just take us back to where you think this story begins and just take us through each kind of chapter that led us up to today. And then we can talk about what the judges actually said.
So I have here said 88-page judgment, which I have not read in full yet by any stretch of the imagination, I'm sorry to say. But I was in court, in the Supreme Court, to hear the judgment. And that was quite a moment, but we'll come on to that yet. To go back, Adam, this goes back to the Scottish Government passing a law, the Scottish Parliament passing a law in 2018, which was designed to try to ensure that more women were represented on public boards. And the Scottish Government, in their definition of women, wanted to include trans women. And a long story short, that was challenged by campaigners, the same campaigners who we've seen vindicated in their view in court today. And triumphant, certainly, in court today. And so this has been backwards and forwards, in and out the Scottish courts for a long time. And ultimately, in the end, it ended up in the Supreme Court because the feeling was that there were two conflicting pieces of Westminster legislation here. So the Gender Recognition Act, which is a 2004 act, that's the act that set up the idea of getting a gender recognition certificate and how that could be done. And then the Equality Act 2010, which is a piece of anti-discrimination legislation. And what we've basically got to today is that the Gender Recognition Act says that if you get a gender recognition certificate, it changes your sex for all purposes. And what the judges have said is that when you look at the Equality Act 2010, it says that even transgender people with a gender recognition certificate can still be treated differently. In other words, it seems to conflict. It doesn't seem to be the case that it does change your sex for all purposes. If, when it comes to, say, female-only spaces, you're a trans person with a gender recognition certificate and you can potentially, not always, but potentially be excluded. And essentially the judges have basically sided with the Equality Act here and have said, no, when it comes to the Equality Act, biological sex is what matters, not gender in terms of a gender recognition certificate.
And we'll come to the reactions from outside the Supreme Court in a minute. But it was interesting because I had a bit more time than you because I've not been doing all the news today. So I read a bit more of the judgment.
And do you know, in the taxi on the way here, I was thinking Adam will have read it.
And now we have come to the conclusion after this episode of On The Radar News Bulletin. To stay tuned for the Onkonanadingi program brought to you by David Shombe. And also do stick around for the Home Run Show from 16:30 with Dwight and Helmut. Now from Indafa, happy Juju, it is goodbye and drive safely as we approach Good Friday tomorrow.
Mukungu lelewa tuko maikuto amina apiri kwa mavchaziva. Mwere kisema app ato wakasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferile. Mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zari vuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Mvone maikuto amancha a imba app, mwikutwe kulivusie mba santo ye mwietuna. Mwikole sfera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone. Imba encha ni encha farizwe ikopanya nifuta ya lifera matasa app ilimu kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali njira mlimu. Zeni zefu mani hamasifera sesifa app ya imba ze tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, simani kakarunga, Africans, ni zeni zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisifera sa kireke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko wa lifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalighty.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Did you know that in Namibia over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Siwanasha Namibia, kamberera omakarunga koe pamwe na imba. Inokara uri kwanima yesiga, endera pamwe nethimbo muyuni wa technology. Imonena eimbiro joe mwene kongo dhiyoeyo peke pamwe na imba. Imba oteta pamwe oshiwana no kwanja kakaneka onjimbo moshiwana ashihe sha Namibia. Moka epaka imba otamu adhika ehwata jonjimbo dhongereka dhayoroka. Gashi, ehangano ja Elsin, umaimburiro joshiherero, simane kakarunga ja katholika karoma, joshimburu sang fortier noongereka dimwe. Tudengera nena ngere wapumba umaimbiro uongereka yoe gakarega wezwako. Koka epa ka imbako nora hetatu ime mbarindatu tano hetatu nora hamano datu. Nenge ututumine o email ko digital@omalighty.com. Otovuruku adha oka epa ka imbako App Store noko Google Play Store. Imo nena imbagoe nena.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.